Thank you very much.
Professor?
Good night, Shabbos. So there is a very interesting halacha, of course, as you know, Shoshim Yom Kodem Achag, already learning Hilchos Purim. And there's a halacha that I was aware of, but the way I saw it phrased, I thought it struck me this year in particular. There's a halacha regarding a scenario that doesn't happen so often. It happened recently, will happen again soon, and then not for another bunch of years, which is where Purim falls out on Friday. So when Purim falls out on Friday, so that means Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos. So people who live in Yerushalayim, people who live in cities that we know were walled since the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they would, in theory, celebrate Purim on Shabbos. However, there's a halacha. We learned the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. Everyone here knows now, right? The Gemara in Maseches Megillah says that we don't have Megillah reading on Shabbos. There's two reasons given, Rabbah and Rav Zeira. Of course, we know them as well, right? Amoraim, third generation. Rabbah and Rav Zeira, they give a couple of reasons for why, but the main reason is that there was a concern that people would not know how to read Megillah. They would have one in their house, a Kasher Megillah, but they wouldn't know how to read it, and they would bring it to their neighbor who does. There's no Erev violating Shabbos. So they made a rule, there's no Kriyas Megillah to take place on Shabbos. So what happens in Yerushalayim? So they have something called Purim Meshulash, three-part Purim. They have on Friday, they have the Kriyas Megillah. So when everybody else is reading Megillah on the 14th of Adar, they're also reading it then. They have Matan Slavyonim then. On Shabbos, they do the Kriyas HaTorah from Purim Day. We read from the attack of Amalek. We read that every year on Purim. They read that on Shabbos. They say Al HaNisim in their Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos. And then on Sunday, they have the Suda, Mishloach Manos. That's beautiful, right? But there's a question you have to ask. I understand why Megillah has to be separate. Megillah cannot be on Shabbos. But why not just do the Suda, Sudas Purim, on Shabbos? Right? You have a Shabbos Suda anyway. So one option is to make a fourth Suda, where you have Shal Shudas and then another Suda before Malav Malka. It's a little hard. But you can say, just make a Shabbos Suda and have an extra dish, have Hamantashen. And then you have beautiful Sudas Purim on Suda Shabbos. Why can't you do that? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, which we also know what that is, right? Talmud Yerushalmi says, I forgot the exact lesson, I didn't have a chance to look it up before, but it says essentially that the Shabbos Suda is, that's what Shemayim does. Shemayim makes a Shabbos Suda. You need to do a Suda on your own. So you can't do the Purim Suda on Shabbos because Shemayim makes that Suda. You have to do it on your own. What does that mean? Well, I have to make the Suda, not Shemayim making it the Suda? What does that mean? There's also another famous Maimar Chazal, it's a Gemara Midrash about what will happen when Mashiach comes. And one thing it mentions is that all the Yom Tovim will be batalin, they'll be gone, they'll be canceled. To understand what that means, it's real, they're actually not going to be there anymore, but let's just take it at face value for now. All the Yom Tovim will be batel, except for Purim. There's another source, I think, in Midrash Shokar Tov, that says Hanukkah also, but it's not going to contradict anything we say here. What is that? Sounds like it's like a nice thing to say. It sounds very nice. Oh yeah, Purim will last forever, even past. But really, we're going to cancel eventually Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shavuos, Pesach, and only Purim's going to remain. Purim? It's very surprising. Hillel Zakein says, first parak of Pirkei Avos, Imein ani li mili. Just before that, presumably somebody asked Hillel HaZaken, what's the theme of the 10th Beis Shabbaton this year? And that's what he answered. So what was he saying? What does it mean? So literally, this actually happens to be one of the many bits of great Jewish wisdom that the secular world has adopted. I would not be surprised at all if you find this in a fortune cookie. I have found a Mishnah of Ben Zoma in a fortune cookie before, who is wise. He learns from every man. I found that in a fortune cookie. It's quoting Pirkei Avos, Dalet Aleph, Ben Zoma.
Done while kosher hasn't started with Chinese.
Oh, well, see, that would be a great suggestion when Ayalon gets the Chinese started. Tell him just do different Pirkei Avos lines. And all the cookies, Maimer Chazal. It's a beautiful industry, I think. Daf Aleph? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, so I meant it was Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph, but yes. So, but we're paying attention. It's great. So what does it mean? Im eina mili mili. It's literally would translate it as, if I am not for me, then mili. Who will be for me? Simply put, it sounds like it means, you know, take achrayus, take responsibility. You have to do something, right? If you don't fill out your permission slip, then no one is going to do it for you, except someone might. But if you don't take care of this, if you don't make your lunch, then you know who's going to do it for you? So that's what it seems to be, the simple version. However, if you look at the Mefarshim, in a basic standard Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos, look at Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Adi Bar Tanura, Rambam, so really what they seem to say is they put it in a spiritual sense as well, and primarily, that if I don't do mitzvos, who will do mitzvos for me? The way the Rambam puts it is very interesting, and I'm sorry I don't have the lashon for you right here, but he says essentially, if you don't arouse yourself and awaken yourself to be inspired, who's going to do it for you? That's how the Rambam puts it. We're all very, very blessed. Infinitely blessed. We should have tremendous hakaras to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And in the blessing, there's a little bit of a curse. The blessing that we have, that we should not take for granted for 1 minute, is the homes that we all come from, and Baruch Hashem, the environment that we find ourselves in. Nurturing homes, nurturing environment. What an incredible Beis Yaakov that you have such an administration and the chanchos and teachers who really care about you so much and are so invested in your success and want to inspire and want to help you grow. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. It's such an unbelievable blessing. It's a little bit of a curse. Because what that sometimes leads to is us just relying on everybody else around us instead of actually taking the responsibility for ourselves. We're not able to develop that achrayus. And the truth is that while we are all brought up in Torah and mitzvos, Baruch Hashem, but a lot of that we're just kind of doing, and that's just part of who we are, but we haven't developed ourselves in that yet, and we haven't built for ourselves yet, taking it up to the next level. In doing our avodas Hashem, everything that we do, but doing it more meaningfully, and adding levels that will help us get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what we have, that's a gift. That was given to us. Just like everybody knows that whatever gifts that you have, if your Hashem gave you, he blessed you with a very high IQ, or a charismatic personality, or wealth. After 120, you don't go up and Hashem says, Sunu, what do you have to say for yourself? Oh, well, I'm actually pretty wealthy. Hashem says, I gave you that. Well, I'm very, very smart. My friends like me. I have nice hair. Whatever you want to say, you're going to argue that to Hashem. Hashem says, I gave you all that stuff. What did you do? Nobody else can do the mitzvahs for you. You have to do it. And what you come with to the table, you can't just present that because what you were given, you have to build. There's a mashal given, I believe it's in Chazal, to explain that Purim, the Purim idea, Purim will continue, and Purim will continue forever. Why would Purim continue forever? Because the other Yom Tovim, like here's, I'll give you a mashal, let's say somebody wants to build a business. Someone says, here, I give you a $10,000 loan, pay me back in 10 years. So he comes 10 years later, he says, "No, where's the money?" He says, "Don't worry. I had the $10,000, I kept it safe, I kept it in the bank account, I didn't touch it." He says, "Okay, you're a fool. Because now you paid back the loan, you give me back the $10,000, but you didn't use it to build anything for yourself. So what I gave you as a loan, I'm taking back, and you're left with nothing." Hashem gave us a gift of Yom Kippur. What Yom Kippur is, an opportunity to completely reset. Rosh Hashanah. Sukkis. Beautiful Sukkis. Pesach, Seder night. Oh. Shavuos. We have such beautiful Yom Tov, and these are gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem, according to the simple way to understand this midrash, Hashem said, I'm going to take that back eventually. But what you built for yourself, you can keep. What did you build for yourself? Purim. And maybe Hanukkah. You built them for yourself. Because you learned from other Yom Tovim and you inspired yourself. And then when you saw Hashem, even when he was hidden, and you saw great salvation, you saw Yeshua, you developed that into its own Yontif. That you keep. That's what you actually built. That's what you get to save. That's what you present. And I think this is Pshat in the Yerushalmi. Purim Seuda cannot be a Shabbos Seuda. Hashem said, that's Shemayim. I commanded that. You can't turn that into a Purim Seuda. That's what I commanded you to do. Purim Seuda has to be on a day where there is no other obligation for that meal. Purim Seuda, Seuda's Purim has to be Sunday, where there's no other day. That's why Purim Mishulash has to exist, because Purim can't be on Shabbos. You need it to be separate. It's something that you, from yourself, develop. Klal Yisrael want Hashem to rest among, to dwell among them, to rest the presence among them. Hashem tells Moshe, no, I don't just come. Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. Build a mikdash, you do it from your hands. And then I'm going to come. You build that up, and then I'm going to be there. But you need to do the legwork. You need to do the effort. Enough of the free gifts. Enough of Matan Torah and this tremendous inspiration that I give you. You need to do it yourself. I give everyone a bracha, hopefully, that the people that you have that are supportive in your life, halavai, you should have them on Me'ev Esrim. I know for myself that's not the case, right? Not everybody makes it Me'ev Esrim. And Baruch Hashem, I was blessed to be raised by a tremendous parents and a mother who was somebody who wanted me to develop on my own, who supported me, but also allowed me to develop and to grow and to build and encourage that and encourage independence. And that's a big bracha that I have. Because at some point, halavai after Me'ev Esrim, we're going to be on our own. At some point, we're not going to be able to depend on other people. And that doesn't have to be so intense and so sad, but there's some point in our lives we're going to find ourselves and we're going to have to ask, Mealy. I have to do this for myself. Mordechai tells Esther, it's time for you to go. No, I can't. I'm not going to go. Me before Ahasuerus? You have to go. And if you don't go now, your house and your family, Klal Yisrael will be fine, but your house and your family and Beis Shaul will be non-existent. It will be wiped out forever. It's all dependent on you. It's dependent on you and what you do right now, Esther, and you have to go ahead and approach Ahasuerus for your own sake. If you're not for yourself, who's going to be for you? Right now, this is what you're here for. And Esther does it. Can you imagine Esther's walk? For 3 days straight of fasting, day and night fasting, walking in the corridor, walking, about to approach Ahasuerus. Mordechai's not with me anymore. She was an orphan. She didn't have any parents. She even says, Kaylee, lama azatani. Maybe even Hashem is not with me anymore. Of course, Hashem is always with her. But she goes and she takes responsibility and steps up and says, Mealy, I have to do this now. So for all of us, and Hashem, this is a message that you're going to be developing over Shabbos. Different levels of Mealy, taking achrayas, taking responsibility, finding yourself, building yourself in your Yiddishkeit, in your avodas Hashem, taking yourself to the next level and taking responsibility. And it means in a practical way, and to take those steps and maybe make our own lunch and maybe fill out forms on our own, and some of these things in a gospelistic way, as the people who read the fortune cookies understand it, but also as the Mefarshe Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, how they explain it as well, for doing mitzvos and inspiring yourselves and finding those opportunities and arousing yourself. Now over here you have a Shabbaton. It's the parts of it are together as one, parts of it are separate. The parts that are together, so that's a gift. And the parts that are a little bit separate, for you to be able to use those as growth opportunities. And throughout your life, you're going to have many of these opportunities. And Mirtz Hashem, you should really keep this in mind, to be able to learn the lesson of Esther, of Asli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham, to build those layers and always ask yourself and answer honestly, Ein Ani Li Mealy.
Jesus. Amen.